This is Reverend Daniel Herrera. He's from
not a reverend.
Jesus Film, the Jesus Film office in Kansas City. Daniel grew up in Costa Rica and Mexico and South Carolina. And his family settled in Mexico for his teenage years. And it was there that he met his future wife, Julie, who is the daughter of missionaries, correct?
Yep.
Gary and Brenda Rice, some of you all may know them. And they were, Daniel and Julie were married in 2009 and started out in Oklahoma City. And the following year, Daniel began to work as a volunteer with Evangelism and Jesus Film Ministry in the Mesoamerica region. And you know that's Central America. In 2012, God opened the doors for Daniel to serve as a missionary for the Church of the Nazarene, assigned to Jesus Film Harvest Partners Global Office in Olathe. And for the past 10 years, he's been there helping to facilitate the work of over almost 1,200 teams of nationals around the world who work to share God's love with the lost. Daniel and Julie have three children, and Abigail is six, Elena is, one of them's nine, aren't they?
No, she's eight.
Eight. Abigail is eight?
She'll be nine in August.
Okay, yeah. And Elena is six, and Samuel is two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Three, practically.
He has his hands next. Full besides his...
next month.
We want to welcome Reverend Daniel Herrera, missionary for the Church of Nazarene.
Thank you. So, well, it's really good to be here, and I'm very excited to share with you about some of the work of the Jesus Film Harvest Partners. And so, yes, I've been assigned to Jesus Film Harvest Partners for the last 10 years, and Jesus Film Harvest Partners is the arm of the Church of the Nazarene that works with the Jesus Film. So the Jesus Film, I know some of you already heard me talk about it before, but it was a film that was created by Campus Crusade for Christ. They made this film based on the Gospel of Luke, and they started using it for evangelism all over the world. And so in 1998, the Jesus Film Project, which is this ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ, they established a partnership with the Church of the Nazarene, and they allowed us to take the Jesus Film, they gave us equipment, they gave us training, and so we started sending out teams of Nazarenes all over the world to start showing the film in different places. So what's so important about the Jesus Film, or the reason why it's so impacting, is the fact that it's been translated into more than 2,000 languages. And so when we talk about, in Christianity, when we talk about a personal relationship with Christ, we talk about this idea that, you know, Jesus, we can get to know Jesus, we can have this connection, special connection with him, and sometimes we don't realize just how important language it is, because in English, we have a lot of resources and materials. I mean, the gospel is available, the Bible is available in English. There's so much stuff out there. A few years ago, Jesus Film Project worked alongside the Church of the Nazarene to create a version of the Jesus Film in Quebecar. And Quebecar is a language spoken in my home country of Costa Rica. There's about 15,000 people who speak it. Out of those 15,000 people, only about 10% of them speak Spanish, which is the main language in Costa Rica. And so only about 10% of those people could have access to the gospel and listen to it in their heart language. And so what happened is we helped to create the Jesus Film in this version. We went out, we did a Jesus Film showing, we invited the parents of some kids to come to a school, they watched it. Afterwards we were talking to them and interviewing them, and there was a lady that said she had been a Christian since she was 6 years old. But that had been the first time that she'd ever heard that she could pray to God in her language, in Quebecar. I mean, can you imagine the fact that, you know, she had been a Christian all that time, and she'd never realized that she could talk to God in her language, without having to think twice about, you know, is this the right language, is this the right word? And so it just creates such a bigger impact when people are able to hear the gospel in their language. So the Jesus Film is not magic. It's simply the same message of the gospel that, you know, brings you and I here today. We all, at some point, were faced with our sin, and we were convicted of it, and we realized that we needed Jesus' salvation, and we accepted his gift. And so that's why we're here. And so that's what happens with the Jesus film. We had a story from Africa where a man came to a Jesus film showing, and he watched the film, and he came out of it thinking, that can't be right. You know, that's just too weird. The fact that this man is forgiving the people who wronged him, that's because in his culture, when somebody does something to you, you turn around and you do it right back at them. So the team was showing the film the next day, and so he came back and he watched the film, and he came out of it thinking, okay, there's still something that's I don't quite understand. And so the team was showing the film a third day. He came the third time, and this time he just couldn't help himself. He went over and he asked one of the team leaders, okay, tell me about this movie, because it seems like this is just pure Hollywood. And that's what he said, pure Hollywood. It's like, this can't be true. And the team was able to tell him, no, this is the real story of the prophet Jesus as it is written in the New Testament. And so that man came to Christ that night, and then he came back a fourth day, but this time he wanted to hear everything that was being said because he wanted to learn more about what Jesus was saying about the right way to live. And so it's this idea that people are hearing and they're impacted by the message of the gospel and not so much the film itself. So and if you can go to the next slide, thanks. So some time ago, I heard one of our colleagues, a missionary from Argentina, his name is Carlos Roddy, and he was telling a story about a young boy that he used to know in high school. He said that the kids called him Pinocchio. And so the story was, Pinocchio was a boy who, a young man, teenager, had everything going for him, athletic, you know, good looking, all that stuff. And what happened was, Carlos's church was doing they had an evangelistic crusade, just some big outreach that they were doing at their church. And so they were doing it over the weekend. And Carlos remembers that one Friday evening, he was on the bus and he was going home and he saw Pinocchio there. And he had this feeling, he just felt like he had to invite him to come to the church event on the weekend. But, you know, at the same time, he was a little nervous. He said, nah, he's probably not interested. And so he just let Pinocchio, he got out of the bus and he walked away. So the church event went really well. People came to Christ. They had a really good time. But on Monday, when he got to school, he found out that Pinocchio had been killed on Saturday while trying to rob a convenience store. So it's one of these things. You can't possibly know what this boy would have said, but there is a chance. And Carlos, he says it openly. It's like, I can never forget what happened. And so his story is what drives me to continue to share the gospel with people even to this day. On the other side, we have the story of Sister Eugenia. She is here in this picture, and she came to Christ at a Jesus film showing in Peru a few years ago, and 3 weeks later she died in childbirth. Now her baby survived, and her husband actually came to Christ during the funeral. So this idea that the gospel is only good news if it gets there on time is just very real. And in Matthew 9:37, the Bible says, you know, that Jesus told his disciples, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send workers to the fields. So that's true today. I mean, that's a reality. The harvest is plenty and it's increasing. There's more than 8 billion people in the world, and we know that about 3.2 billion of them live in places where they've never heard the gospel, they've never even heard the name of Jesus. Maybe they don't know about him, but no, these are people who live in countries where culturally, you just don't talk about it because it has nothing to do with their lives. And so we know that harvest is increasing all the time. So who are the workers that we're supposed to be working, that we're supposed to be praying for? Well, I mean, the Sunday school answer is, yes, you and me. But I can tell you that the Church of the Nazarene, and if you go to the next slide, Jesus Film Harvest Partners is the arm of the Church of the Nazarene that works with the Jesus Film, and we're helping the Church of the Nazarene to recruit, train, equip, deploy, and support teams of Nazarenes to go and share the gospel with their neighbors. People like Sister Ofelina, and so that's the lady in pink. Ofelina is from Panama. She also, she was a Christian, but she had a missionary calling when she was 6 years old, and she told me that she didn't really know what to do about that. She just felt like God was calling her to missions. So she didn't know what to do. She grew up, she got married, she had kids. Those kids grew up and they got married and had kids. So now with her grandkids, she became a widow. And she came to an evangelism conference where they were talking about the Jesus Film strategy, and she realized, I can be a missionary in my own country. And so she got together with some other men and women who had this same calling, and they formed a Jesus Film team. And so what they do is they go out, they take the Jesus Film, they show it in places where there is no church, they make an invitation for people to accept Christ, then they follow up with those people and they start a Bible study and they try to meet regularly with them so that it eventually becomes a church. And so in the 5 years that Ofelina was active as a Jesus Film team, she led more than 250 people to Christ and she started more than 50 preaching points, these Bible studies. So how do we do this? So if you go to the next slide. Well, I talk about the Jesus Film teams. Just like Ofelina, there's 5,000 Nazarenes this year, just in 2023, around the world, that are forming these Jesus Film teams, 1,109 teams, and they're all doing this. So what they do is they get together with their district superintendent and the local church pastors, and they figure out where do we want to go, where do we want to start churches, and they make a plan for what they're going to do during those 12 months. And they send that to us at our global office, and we register them, you know, we get them started, we make sure that they have equipment, that they have the training, and then they go out and they do this, you know, they show the film and they start preaching points. So in 63 countries this year, 1,109, and what happens is, since this happens every year, it changes. So the number will be different next year. Last year we had 960. We just see that it's increasing and that people are really interested in doing this more and more. And so 1,109, but we don't know where it'll be next year. It might be in the same countries. There are times when we'll see the Spirit of God moving in one country, and then they'll say, okay, we're going to stop for now, and we're going to try to consolidate the work, and then it starts up several years later. So this year, we're actually seeing a lot of work in Asia Pacific, in countries that we hadn't seen before, or we hadn't seen in a long time. We have teams in the Philippines that we hadn't had teams there in quite a while, in Thailand as well, in Myanmar, and so all these places. So we see that it changes all the time. So how does Jesus Film Harvest Partners do this? Well, if you go to the next slide, we do that by forging strategic partnerships with other ministries and individuals, because just like in 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul talks about the body of Christ, everybody has a role to play. And God has sent some people, he has appointed some people to go and share the gospel, but he's also given resources and tools to other people so that they can help to support the work of the teams that are going. So for example, Jesus Film Project. Jesus Film Project, they own the Jesus Film, and they gave it to the Church of the Nazarenes, so now we can use it. Faith Comes by Hearing is another organization, and what they do is they record the New Testament. They make New Testament recordings in different languages, and so from them we get the audio Bible, and so that way we can take that those recordings and put them into a device, an audio Bible player, and then we can give that to people, and they don't have to have a Bible that is written, because a lot of the times, many of those people, 80% of the world doesn't know how to read or doesn't like to read. And so the best way for them to learn is by listening. So we get Faith Comes by Hearing, they have the recordings. The Christian Motorcyclist Association, yeah, they raise money for motorcycles for pastors, and over the last 12 years, they've given us more than $1 million to provide motorcycles to these Jesus Film teams, just all Nazarene work. And so we provide them with motorcycles. We, of course, have the support of the local churches, the fact that WEF, the World Evangelism Fund, I mean, the missionaries, all the work that is coming in through for the Evangelism Fund, That helps the work of the Jesus Film teams. There's a district superintendent that is providing oversight to those works. So the local, the global church network is included into that. And then, of course, you know, the teams who are going out there and the equipment that we provide. We have another ministry called Renew World Outreach that we partner with, and they're the ones that create the equipment. And so we have all these different things from other partners or the other kingdom partners that we bring it all together so that we can accomplish the work that the teams are being called to do. So in about the equipment, yeah, if you go to the next one. Back in 1997, we were given equipment by Jesus Film Project. And the equipment at the time, it was reel-to-reel projectors. You needed a generator. You needed to have these big screen poles, aluminum screen poles that were very heavy. All these different things. It took about 8 people just to carry the equipment anywhere. I mean, that's in the field. And you can imagine how hard it was to get it to from the US to any of those countries. And so you needed 8 people. It weighed more than 200 pounds. A language of the Jesus Film, a reel of the Jesus Film, cost $2,000. So even just that was, you know, quite a bit. And today, you know, technology has advanced enough so that we can put everything into a small backpack that weighs less than 27 pounds. So the one in the picture, that's one of the smaller models. It weighs 27 pounds, and it has everything you need to show the film to up to 500 people. This backpack over here, that weighs 50 pounds, but it's good enough for about 1,000 people. And so, and it includes the screen, it includes a battery, you can connect it to the wall and recharge it, but it also has a solar panel in case you're in an area where you don't have access to electricity. And so everything comes right there, and the film, well, those big canisters, the reel-to-reel, now it comes in a micro SD card that is about the size of your fingernail. And so you just put it into a tiny projector and off you go. So we praise God because it's advanced a lot. And just like we have the high-tech stuff, we also have some low-tech stuff. I mean, you may have seen the evangelism soccer ball that uses the five colors of the wordless book, and so you can share the gospel with that. Or the Evangicube, that it's a small tool that people use when they're going out, the teams, when they go to a place, they're setting up maybe the equipment, they're going out and inviting people to come to the Jesus Film showing. Oftentimes they'll take the Evangicube and they'll share the gospel with people on the street. The soccer ball, of course, you take it out and then kids come over and you start a soccer game, and then afterwards at some point you stop and you ask them, hey, have you ever seen a soccer ball this colorful? And then you can start talking to them about the colors and share the gospel with them. We use the Bible story cloth that has 50 pictures from the Old Testament and 50 pictures from the New Testament to do discipleship follow-up as a kind of a reference so that people can see the story. You tell them the Bible story, but then they can see a picture so that they can have a better idea of what's going on in the story. So we have high-tech and low-tech, and then one of the newer things that we're using is called a light stream. So there's 8 billion people. But it turns out that there's more than 8 billion cell phone subscriptions. So mobile phones are out there. Even there's more mobile phones out there than people. And that's probably, you know, somebody who has more than one phone, right? And so what happens is we're moving to this new technology stuff. And this is called the Lightstream. And it's just a tiny little box that creates a Wi-Fi hotspot where people on their mobile phone, they can connect to it and they can download anything that you have stored in here. So oftentimes we would see that you go to a Jesus Film showing and people would be there with their cell phone just trying to record anything, and a clip or whatever they could store in their memory and then take it home. So now they can watch the film and they can download a copy of it and take it home and share it with someone. But it's not just the Jesus Film. With this, you can share any discipleship material. You know, anything that you have afterwards, you can share it with them so that they have a copy. You don't have to print it or think about how are you going to move the books from, you know, the capital city where you printed them or where somebody sent them or shipped them in. And then how are you going to get that up to the mountains? I mean, I've seen pictures of pastors carrying boxes of Bibles just tied on their back and then walking up mountains because that's the only thing that they could do. So now you don't have to do those things. And we see that about 70% of the world doesn't have access to reliable internet, or it costs a lot of money. And so this is going to help us in the future, and hopefully it doesn't get to the point where we're already starting to see there are some countries that are starting to disconnect from the global internet, and they're creating their own internet inside. So like Russia is starting to do that. China has done that for many years. If that trend continues, then these things are going to become more important, because that would be the only way that you can share the network or the internet or any content that you would normally find on the internet. You would be able to share it with these types of devices. So we hope it doesn't get to that point, but maybe God's already provided us with an answer to a problem that we don't know that we're going to have. So on that, we have received, or the Church of the Nazarene received the gift, and yes, you can go to the next one. And we have been able to provide over 17,000 of these units to the Church of the Nazarene in 30 different countries. And from there, they're starting to spread them into other places. And we're getting stories from Africa and other places all the time. So one of these stories, the picture of the water, that is a pastor, is a missionary who's active in the island of Mauritius in Africa. And so he gave one of these devices to one of the Nazarene pastors who is also he works on a fishing boat. And so they go out, and it takes about a month for them to go out in the ocean. And so he would turn the device on, and then the people who were on the boat, they would connect to it because they didn't have anything else to do. So they would connect to it, and they would watch the videos, and eventually they would start asking questions. And so this was one day he just sent a text message saying, "Hey, I baptized two people today who came to Christ from the Lightstream ministry." And so we praise the Lord for that. Then we got another story, this one. This man over here, you see he's got one of these, and you see all those lights that are on. So what happens is, when you turn this on, anytime that somebody connects to it, a light goes on. So what he's showing is that everybody is connected to this device. And he got on a bus. He didn't say anything. He just turned it on. He's riding on the bus, and all of a sudden he sees that people are connected to it and they're downloading stuff. And it does let you, afterwards, you can go and see if anybody downloaded or anything. And so people would connect to it even before he even said anything, you know, because they put free movies or all the things that either your your local tech-savvy people will tell you, don't connect to a Wi-Fi that says free movies. Yeah, well, in this case, they do it and they find Jesus. So we're not so sad about that. Then another story, we had a leader in Africa who, she's told us that her son became sick, and she had to take him to the hospital. And they kept him in the hospital for several weeks, but she said that she would take the light stream with her when she would go to visit him. And one day she was there, she was nursing him, and she had the light stream on. And one of the nurses came over and asked her, what is that? And so she was able to tell her, oh, well, this is a device, and this is what it has, the film about Jesus and stuff. And so she connected to it. And then she said that after the 3 weeks were done, she knew that about 30 hospital officials had somehow connected to the light stream and had been impacted by videos of the Jesus film. So we see that just the fact that sometimes, just the fact that it's there, that's enough to get people to ask questions. It's an opportunity for you to share the gospel. Another man, he got into a cab. He was sharing it with another three people. He saw that everybody was on their cell phone, so he started talking to them about the device. He shared the gospel with them, and one of them reconciled with the Lord and went back to church. So we praise the Lord for that. But that's the high tech stuff. But we do still use the Jesus film. And so if you go on to the next story, this is the story of Anju, who she was an 18-year-old in South Asia. I'm being recorded. So it's in South Asia. And she had heard about Christianity. And so she wanted to know more about God. And she came across Pastor Schumann, who was a Nazarene pastor, and he was showing the Jesus film. So she went to a Jesus film showing. She came to Christ, and he started discipling her. And she lived in her house. It was a one-bedroom house with her mother and her two siblings, one of them older and one of them younger. And so the older sibling was Hindu, and he was very, very much against anything other than their Hindu religion. And so when she became a Christian and she started being discipled, she wanted to read her Bible, or she wanted to just spend some time in prayer, and he would go and he would turn on the television set or the radio and turn the volume up. And so she couldn't really find a good space for her to be alone with God. So she started, you know, she said that she would even have to climb on the roof just so that she could spend some time alone. However, her lifestyle actually impacted her mom and her daughter, or and her sister. And so they eventually starting to come to church with her. And then it was after a lot of time, they had asked their brother if he wanted to go to church with them, and he kept saying no. But then one day, for whatever reason, he felt like he had to say yes. And so they were doing a special movie showing. They're showing the film. He came to the Jesus film showing, and he watched it, and he was really impacted. And afterwards, he came to Christ. He went through the discipleship process, and he realized he wanted to go and share his faith. And so he started going with Pastor Schumann, became a team leader or a team member, and now is part of one of the Jesus film teams. But he talked about how seeing the film had just made it, or seeing the story of Jesus had made it a lot more real for him. Before, it was just things that he'd heard, but seeing it made such a bigger impact. And so so we praise the Lord because he's still bringing people to Christ that way. Okay. Then we also have a story. And this one is Michael, who is a 16-year-old from Liberia. And this one's really cool. So he had always had a heart for children's ministry. And he was at his district events. He was always the guy who was there talking about the children's ministry and, you know, trying to encourage people to be involved. And then one day, his brothers were going out to do a Jesus film showing in a nearby town. He went with them. They did the Jesus film showing. They made an invitation for people to come to Christ. The kids that raised their hand, he went by and he made sure to write down everybody's name. Then the next day, they stayed the night, and the next day he went around the village trying to kind of gather all the children, and he taught them stories from the Bible, and he taught them songs and things like that. And then when they were ready to leave, they all got on a motorcycle and they left. And unfortunately, they had an accident on the way, to the point where he broke both of his legs, and they all had to be taken to the hospital, but the other guys, they were let go pretty quick. But his stuff was more serious. He broke both his legs, and the doctors were saying that they may have had to amputate his foot. So in order to avoid doing that, they sent him to a specialist in another town, a bone specialist. And before they sent him there, he asked if he could take the Jesus film equipment with him. And so he took it with him. And while he was at the hospital, he was ministering to the people who were caring for him, to the other patients. They say that he would grab the speakers and he'd hang them on the window. And then he just crank things up so that people outside the hospital could hear what was going on. And actually, people came to Christ. And not only that, after some time, those people that came to Christ decided they wanted to do a Jesus film showing, a full-blown Jesus film showing in the village. So they went to the center of the town, they invited people, they did the showing, and six more people came to Christ. They started a preaching point there, a Bible study. And his brothers, when they would come to visit him, they would take the time to go out and disciple the new believers there. And 6 months later, they organized a church in this village. So you guys know, it's an organized church according to the manual with all the things that are required for that. So they went from zero to a fully organized church in 6 months. And it didn't stop there, because that church, they were really excited about it, and so they started sending their own team out to other villages, and they planted another three churches in nearby villages. And so it just kept on going. Well, as if that wasn't enough, Michael, while he was still in the hospital, he met this kid who was there also with broken feet, but this guy had broken his feet when he was trying to escape from a robbery. And so he started, you know, he would see this guy, he was really lonely, so he started going over and started talking to him. And the people from the hospital in the village, they told him, it's like, look, you don't want to mess with that guy, you don't want to get with him, because he is a local gang leader. He's very dangerous. But Michael just saw a guy who was just very lonely. So he would go over in his crutches and he would share a meal with him. He'd talk to him. During the time when they were talking, he at one point he saw that on his phone, this boy had videos of himself giving instructions to other gang members about things that they needed to do and some terrible things. Over time, he found out that he was actually the leader of the same gang that had robbed Michael's brother at some point. They'd taken his money, his passport, and some other belongings. And so, in spite of all that, Michael just kept on going because he felt that God wanted him to reach out to this young man. And so what happened was, eventually, you know, he asked him if he wanted to go to church, to this church that they'd started, and the boy said yes. And he came to church, and it was the first time that he'd ever stepped into a church. And when he heard the gospel message, he accepted Christ. And that's him right there. And so that story, it just keeps on going. And it doesn't stop there. I mean, that's where we stopped asking questions. But we know, I mean, they're still there. And Michael obviously has a passion for the Lord. So we praise God for that. So I am going to give you a handout. And if you didn't take it before, it has some statistics about the Jesus Film Harvest Partners Ministry. But basically, here it is. It's our report card. And what we've seen is that in the 25 years, more than 18 million decisions for Christ have been reported by Nazarene teams around the world. When you take that and you divide the number of seconds that have happened since 1998, and you take that and divide it by the number of decisions, it averages out that about every 43 seconds a person has come to Christ through the ministry of Church of the Nazarene, just with the Jesus Film. And so that's pretty impressive. For those of you who are finance-minded and everything, when you look at the amount of money that has been invested and spent by Jesus Film Harvest Partners, and you divide that with the number of decisions, it turns out that for about every $3, there has been a decision for Christ. And so that's pretty impressive. And it's not because of anything special that we do. It's the fact that the Church of the Nazarene, like I said, it has this whole big network that is there. I mean, there's local churches, there's pastors, there's local leaders, the district superintendents, the World Evangelism Fund. That's why we can be so efficient in the ministry. So I want to share with you three ways that you can be more involved with Jesus Film Harvest Partners and the ministry of the church in this special ministry. And so the first one is to pray. I mean, we all know prayer is important, but it is extremely important. You have no idea what a difference it makes when I tell our team leaders, you have a group of people in the States that are praying for you continually. So if you take this QR code, or if you just go to jfhp.org/pray, there's a newsletter that goes out every month. You can sign up for it. And it's an email that has prayer requests for, I think it's still 4 countries. So what we do is we try to emphasize one per week. And so what we have is prayer requests that have come directly from the Jesus Film teams in some cases, and just some statistics about the ministry that is happening there. And so it's a way to stay connected and stay up to date and to know about different ways that you can pray for the ministry. Another way is to give, of course. I mean, but it's not just giving for money, for to purchase equipment and things like that. There's a lot of churches that have been creating hats, evangelism hats with the 5 colors of the wordless book. And they knit these hats, they pack them together, they send them to Jesus Film Harvest Partners. And so we take that and we send it out with teams, working witness teams, or with ministry trips, or sometimes even just individuals who are traveling, and we send them out into the teams. In Paraguay, back in September, their leader was telling me, is like, yeah, we can really use the bracelets. But if you send the bracelets, please don't send them together. Don't send them put together. I mean, there's places where they like them that way. But what he says is what they use is the beads and the pieces together, and then they do children's ministry, children's outreach, and they have the children there put the bracelets together, and then they watch the film, and so it all kind of ties together so that they can do ministry better. So there's many different ways that you can give. And then the next one is to go. I already talked about the importance of having to take equipment to different places. My job at Jesus Home Harvest Partners, I work with the teams to try to give them not just the equipment and the training and strategy and things like that, but providing equipment is difficult because you may have the backpacks, you have all the stuff, but how do you get it to them? And so the most efficient way of doing that is still hand carrying it. So when a church or a small group or a district or a sometimes even just a Sunday school class, they get together, they decide that they want to do a ministry trip, well, they can raise the funds for the equipment, or maybe even just go and deliver it. If you're going on a work and witness team, on a work and witness trip anywhere, talk to us, let us know, maybe we need equipment there and you can just carry it. Some people who are going on vacations, we have some great partners that, he has his day job, but he also mows lawns on the side throughout the year. And then anything that he gets from that, he uses to pay for plane tickets so that in the winter months, he and his wife, they go, they drop off equipment, and then they stay maybe one day, and they turn around and head back. You know, so they don't even spend a lot of time there. And that's what they've been doing this for 3 or 4 years. So if you're just going on vacation, you don't have to do that. But if you're going on vacation somewhere, let us know. There's a chance we may need equipment there. And if you would be willing to just give us one of your baggage slots, 50 pounds, so it fits within the, you can just check this, and it goes and just pick it up at the other side of the at the airport. So let us know. We'll put you in touch with somebody in the field. You can just hand it off to them. Or if you're interested and want to learn more about the ministry, we can arrange it so that they can teach you more about what's going on in that country. But it makes a big difference for us and for the teams when they are able to get equipment. And so now the other thing that's happening is we're getting ready to provide a brand new model of Jesus Film equipment that has the Lightstream technology already included in it. So we're getting ready to try to re-equip all of the Jesus Film teams around the world with this new stuff. And there's with the pandemic, I mean, we lost a lot of years where teams were not receiving any new equipment. So we have requests in countries where they need 30 sets of equipment, and they haven't gotten anything new since 2015. So it's aging out, but there's still a lot of need.
As you replace that equipment, are you having to replace the entire kit or a small portion of the kit?
Yeah, so it's actually just a small portion of it. Maybe in the long run, but for now, I know that the pieces that are changing are some of the cabling, the projector itself, and then the amplifier. The new system has all these things in one unit, so you're not going to need as many cables, so that all you need to do is basically bring the projector and then just pop it in, and it works with everything else. So this idea of preparing the way, I actually heard Dr. Carla Sundberg preach about how in ancient times, when you hear about preparing the way, what would happen is, anytime there was a royal visit, a king was going somewhere, what the people would do is, those things were planned years ahead. And what they would do is that they would have workers go, and they would level mountains, they would clear forests, they would create these new roads that didn't exist before, so that when the royal procession came, they would just have as the best straight path. So when the Bible talks about preparing the way, and when John talks about making straight paths for him, that's what he's talking about. It's about creating this road so that the Lord Jesus, the King, would be able to come into people's hearts. And so when we talk about preparing the way, Jesus Film teams are showing up in these places at the right time, because we know, those of us who have been in the Church of the Nazarene and know about prevenient grace, we know that the Holy Spirit has been working in the lives of people since they were born, preparing the way so that at one point, one crucial moment, they would hear the gospel and it would just click, and it would make a difference in their lives. So the Jesus Film teams, they're there at that intersection. The Holy Spirit has been working with these people for all this time. And when we help to prepare the way by giving them, the teams, the equipment, the funding, the resources, the training that they need, then we're actually partnering alongside God when we do that. And so I love the theme, co-mission, because what we see is that, you know, not even God wants to do this on his own, right? And none of us can do everything, but everybody can do just one small thing, and together we can really fulfill the Great Commission. So I think I'm going to leave it up now for questions, and I think we still have time. And I'm going to give out these other handouts, but are there any questions or comments?
Yeah, one more.
Uh-huh.
Regarding the re-outfitting. If you go to a country that needs to be re-outfitted, how much re-outfitting can fit inside a 50-pound bag?
Well, that is the full set. So the re-outfitting will be different. I mean, it'll be however many projectors one person can carry, and it depends on the country too. There's some countries where we know that you don't want to take more than a certain number of them. And that's, for example, if you go to Cuba, they tell you you're not supposed to take more than 10 things of one same item. And when it comes to projectors, you know, maybe you're going to want to have several different groups. And that's one of the things that we've had to do with, one of the South Asian countries that I can't talk about. We can't send teams there, but individuals are going there all the time, and they're helping us to deliver equipment. So
that's all three?
All three.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, so in the half sheet, the little sheet that has our address, uh-huh. And so if you go to our website, you can actually see the instructions for how to make the hat, and it tells you, because a lot of the times what they do is that they package them in a Ziploc bag, uh-huh. five at a time, and then a lot of churches would send us $2 for every five hats, uh-huh. So that would help us to cover the shipping when we send it out to teams that are going out. And so all of that is on the website.
On the list.
Mm-hmm. On that same SKU website?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I know you said there's some countries you can talk about, but I was reading something about Rotaria, the trackless radio that they broadcast in.
Uh-huh.
So is this thing trackable? I guess it could be trackable.
This device?
Yeah,
so it's local. So, I mean, if you're within range, it can be tracked, but you have to know that it's there, and you have to really be wanting to do it. There are special devices that will let you know how strong a signal is. I mean, I've even seen it on t-shirts. you can buy a t-shirt that says that, you know, it'll light up if you're close to a strong Wi-Fi network. And so, yeah, they are trackable if you know that they're there and if it's on. That's the other thing.
Can you defer the tracking? Like if you're in a country that you don't want to share, that you just want the people around you to know that this is here, but you don't want people in range that shouldn't know. How does that
work? If you wanted to do that, like on this device, you can put a password on it.
Okay.
So you could put a password on it. So if you are just trying to communicate something to people that you know, that's the easiest way to do it.
And
then it's secure. Nobody can just log in and figure out what it is. But if the intent is to do outreach then you really want it to be public.
Sure.
So.
Connecting it as a Wi-Fi hotspot,
mm-hmm.
But then you'd have to have what your local country modem in it in the minutes.
No, what you do is. just like when you're connecting to the Wi-Fi, either at the church or, you know, at your home or McDonald's or anything like that, you take your device, you go to the Wi-Fi, and you log on to that. And then what's happening is you're not connected to the internet, you're just connected to this device. So you won't be able to see anything that's out on the internet, it's just anything that's here, but it doesn't cost you anything other than the battery power of your phone. So you don't have to have either a local modem or a data chip or anything like that.
On behalf of those participating via vacation, how do you get a 50-pound bag of electronics through customs that you didn't pack?
Yeah, well, I mean, we always encourage people to look through the equipment so that you're familiar with it. Because in that way, if you get stopped and they ask you what's in here, then you're going to be able to know. And they ask you, did you pack this? You can say, yes, I packed it, because you looked through it, right? I mean, that's the responsible thing, to look through it. Yeah. And then the other thing is, yeah, well, I mean, in a sense, we're giving it to you, so you're the owner, and you take it there. And now then what you do with it afterwards, that's up to you, right? We normally do provide a donation letter so that if you'll have that, and if somebody asks you, you can say, hey, this is something that in most countries, that's not an issue. In most countries, you can just talk about it and say, okay, well, this is an equipment that has been provided by Jesus from Harvest Partners, and we're donating it to a church. And it's not for... it's not for resale purposes or anything like that. Most countries, that's enough. Whenever I travel with equipment, I always bring a letter with me. I think the only place where I've had issues was one time in Argentina, where they were asking about it, and when I told them what it was, they started looking it up on their phone. They were convinced that I was going to sell it. They were trying to figure out on the internet what these things were going for. They weren't able to find it. I was there for so long that people started asking me questions, thinking that I was one of the workers there. And then finally, they just sent me along because they got tired. In Cuba, I've had to pay for, you know, a small amount. I think it was $100 for the projector. And hey, if that's what it costs to get this there, it's like, that's not an issue. If you encounter something like that, the church will reimburse you, because that's how, you know, that's how important it is for us to get that stuff there.
You may have mentioned this. How much does that pack cost?
This backpack costs $4,000.
The lighting, what do you call it, light streams.
The unit itself is $75. You'll find them on our website for $200, because we're providing a solar panel with it, so that, you know, if you're out in somewhere where it's remote, they'll have the solar panel as well. So.
And you said it was available in a lot of different languages.
The device, not the content. Yes, the Jesus Film is available in more than 2,000 languages.
And that's all loaded on there? But if you wanted to send that to a country, can you order it on your site in that language?
What we do is we would send you to the ministry that provides these things, that creates them, and they would load it for you. I don't know that they would be able to ship it to a specific country, but they could ship it to you or anybody here in the U.S. that could then transport it somewhere. And yeah, they'll load the content that you need into it.
Now, if you need to update that, can it be updated?
Oh, this device? Yeah.
By connecting to the internet, or?
So,
update.
Yeah, well, I mean, you do have to know a little bit about how it works, or the people on the ground would have to know. What you can do is, there's a couple of ways. You can connect to it on your phone, and you can load anything that you have on your phone, load it onto the device. If you needed to do more, you could have a USB drive, and that's a little bit more technical. You have to have a special file in there that you can create it, but you have to know what you're doing. And you put that in here, and then it'll just load the stuff that's on the drive onto the device. If it needs a firmware update, same thing. You'd have to download it, put it in there. But if it's just about adding content, the easiest way is just to connect with your phone or your computer and just upload it.
Oh,
You just grab the file and drop it in there, and it's there.
Mm-hmm. I have a quick question. This Campus Crusade for Christ, do they still do the Jesus Project, or is it just mostly us?
No, the Campus Crusade, they're the ones that are creating the languages of the Jesus film. So that's one of the main things that they do. They went, after they partnered with us, they also partnered with other denominations like the Baptists, the Wesleyans, and so they have their own Jesus film ministry. Campus Crusade, they have a website where you can go in and you can download the film in every language, and so now that's available for free. It used to be that, you know, that you had to buy the DVDs. They're still active. They're still doing ministry in different ways. This is just Nazarene stuff.
That's just for the Nazarenes.
That's just the Nazarene stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let me just confirm what I just heard. The statistics we saw are only Nazarene statistics.
That's correct. Yeah.
Well, heaven's gonna get full.
We hope so. We're trying. Yeah.
I have a question about the live stream.
Oh. Oh yeah.
If you happen to purchase a live stream for your group or whatever, however that works, would there be like an app or a website that the person who purchased it could go to, and it would explain everything you're saying?
Yes.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. So I'm like that way.
Yeah. If you have one of these, it comes with an instruction booklet, and it has the website that you can go to, and videos to how to do all those things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I walked in late. Did you show them the Bible clock?
No, I was.
So
this is the Bible story cloth I mentioned, the one of the low tech stuff that they use for discipleship. Here.
I think they're beautiful.
And so the interesting thing about these is these pictures belong to the Wesleyan Publishing House. And so they allowed us, they used to sell them in Bible story cards. I think they're stopping that soon. And so it's cardboard. And what would happen is they'd get ripped or they'd get dirty and bent and all that stuff. So we went to them and we asked them, hey, can we use these pictures and put them in cloth? And they said yes. And so we've had them in the Bible story cloth mode for several years. I think it's been about 20 years. So the nice thing is these, it's easy to wash. I mean, you can scrunch them up and they go right back to being normal. So on our website, if you're interested in buying one of these, you can go to our website. Now, you're going to have to write an email to just the contact, Jesus Film Harvest Partners, and say that you're interested in purchasing a Bible story cloth, and put in your address so that we know where to send it. The problem is, if you just go to give, the website is set up for mostly just donating towards Bible story cloths for the teams, not so much for the U.S. right now. And so it's a little roundabout, but you have to do it that way so that we know that you're trying to, or that you want to have one for yourself. But it is $35, and that includes the shipping. The other thing that we're working on, and I still don't even know exactly how to explain that because we're launching it at General Assembly, but we've actually put together a discipleship program of about 104 lessons based on the Bible story cloth that we're putting together into an app that we're going to be sending out to the Jesus Film team or preaching point leaders, so that those leaders, when they're teaching, I mean, the Church of the Nazarene has discipleship materials everywhere. But we said, well, just in case somebody doesn't have it, let's give them something. And so we're giving them that, and we're also providing leadership materials for those lay leaders. Oftentimes, they haven't gone to seminary, so they don't know all the theology. There are some times when they're brand new believers. I mean, we've had situations where he was a Hindu priest, he came to Christ, and now because everybody sees him as the spiritual leader of his village, he is the leader of the preaching point. He's the new pastor. And so we're putting together this app that has content from the course of study, from lay leadership materials that have been created in the other regions, in Mesoamerica, some African stuff too. We're all putting it together, and we're providing that for free so that these Preaching Point leaders will have access to this content. We want them to go to school. We want them to go to theological education. But if they don't have that, then at least they'll have the content here where they can read it, where they can listen to it, or it can be taught to them. So we're really excited about that because it's brand new. And the Wesleyans, they went ahead and they said, yeah, sure, go ahead, take our pictures, put them up online, give them away for free. And so we're in the process of changing that, but we thank God again for just great partners because we're all really focused on trying to accomplish the Great Commission. Yeah.
Have you tried introducing the film in China?
Yes. I don't know very much about that because what happens is when the church sends missionaries there, we provide them all the tools that they might need, and then whether they use them or not, sometimes we hear about it, sometimes we don't. And so they have all the stuff, but they don't normally tell us about what's happened afterwards with that.
Mm-hmm. I'm loving all the questions, but I'm privileged to be able to give you a check today from the Missouri District, and this represents all the churches, so you all get to be a part of that. It's for $1,125 to
Wow.
go to the Jesus Film. And what I'm excited about those statistics, I did the math, and if my math is correct, that's 375 souls.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So, yeah. Well done. Great presentation.
Thank you
for being with us here today.
Yeah. My pleasure.
We've traveled to China many times and very cautious about. And my wife discussed the God book,
uh-huh.
as they called it.
Uh-huh.
Friends there, but.
At least they identified it correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
We were quite cautious. Didn't want to be a prisoner.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, uh-huh.
Just real quick, you said that Campus Crusaders are translating Jesus Film into all the different languages. So they're partnering with like Wycliffe translators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all very, very much talking all the time. One of the Jesus Film project leaders, he sits on our board, and he always gives us updates about, you know, all these different plans. And one of the things that they're wanting to do is they want to translate the Bible into every language, which is more than 7,000, by the year 2030. I don't know if they'll make it, but that's the goal that they've set. And it's because all these big organizations, they're really focused on this. Now with AI, with advances in technology, it's becoming easier for them to do it. The other thing is they've let go of some ideas. It used to be that when they were translating the Bible, they wanted to have every language have a written version, and sometimes those languages are completely oral. You know, there's never been a written alphabet for some of them. And so they've kind of let go of that idea, and they said, why are we going to spend so much time creating a written version when they're never going to use it? Let's just skip that part and try to focus on just creating and translating the Bible into those languages, even though they're never going to have a written form. So
with the AI becoming more and more prevalent,
mm-hmm.
and then whoever programs that, it kind of has a certain tilt to it. So the Bible, when we have the Jesus Film and the story in oral form or audio, is it secure in that it will stay that way, or is the AI going to change it?
So the Bible, or when they translate the Jesus Film, part of the process that they follow is they have somebody translate the Bible, and when that Bible translation is finished, the book of Luke, then they take the book of Luke and they write, I mean, they already have the English script. So they have somebody take that, the book of Luke in that other language, and they translate the script, and they use the book of Luke as a guide. And so when they have that translation, then they get it has to be pastors or experienced ministers who understand that language very well, and they have this group of people examine the script to make sure that it is, that it's consistent, and that it's a good translation, that it's not gonna use words that is gonna throw you off and get you into real trouble. And so once they do that, then they go ahead and do the recording. So there's a process that they follow to make sure that the script of the Jesus film is accurate enough. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, you're welcome.